I don't know what image you have of yourself and the role that you have as a Christian. Perhaps you think of yourself as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ, as a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, as a worker in the vineyard of God. How often do you consider yourself as a soldier in the Lord's army? I mentioned that tonight we resume our Soldiers of Christ program on Sunday nights, the design of which is to help all of us to, as this phrase says down here on the bottom, this is what we've been using, the Soldiers of Christ, talk about the fact that we are trying as Christians, as soldiers, to sharpen our swords, to equip ourselves to serve, and to march to heaven. I want you to think about your role, your work as a Christian. Are you sharpening your sword? Are you equipping yourself to serve? Are you marching to heaven? As a soldier in the Lord's army, I want us this morning to consider several things that we must do. These are not options. These are not things that we could take or leave as someone who's in the army of God. But if we are going to be a faithful soldier, if we're going to be a working soldier, if we're going to be one who hasn't been dishonorably discharged, but one who is active on active duty, what are we going to look like? What will we be doing? First of all, I want us to think this morning about the fact that as soldiers in the Lord's army, we must volunteer for service. I want you to think about that. As soldiers in the Lord's army, we must volunteer for service. The Lord has given to each and every one of us the freedom of choice. You think about what He says in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." God has given us freedom of choice in this life. And so in order to become a soldier in the Lord's army, that is a choice that we must make. And that choice is open to everyone. The opportunity to be in the Lord's army, the opportunity to be saved, is not something that's only for those who are in a limited few. It's open to anyone who will be obedient to the Lord's will. And so throughout the New Testament, you will find this word, whosoever, over and over and over again, to describe how open the invitation of God is to become a soldier in His army. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, whoever hears and does the will of God, whoever hears and does the words of Jesus, he's like a wise man. That's open to anyone. Whosoever, in Mark chapter 8, whosoever will take up his cross and follow me, that person can follow after Christ as a soldier in His army. The Bible says that salvation is available and open to anyone who will believe and to be baptized. It is open to anyone who will repent of their sins. It is open to anyone who will fear God, Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, and work righteousness. You see, as a soldier in the Lord's army, there's not a single one of us, not a single soldier in the Lord's army who has ever been conscripted, who's ever been forced. There's no draft in the Lord's army. You're not going to wake up one day and find something in the mail and say, "Oh, well, I've been drafted in the Lord's army. Oh, well, maybe I'll run off to Canada so I can avoid this." There's no such thing as a draft in the Lord's army. It's a choice that you make. But let me remind you that it is the most important choice that you will ever make. To become a soldier in the Lord's army is the best choice that you will ever make. But the thing to remember, it is your choice to make. It is your decision. And I hope that everyone in here will make that decision. I hope everyone in here, young and old, will make the decision that if I have the opportunity, if I have the choice between two armies, I can serve in the Lord's army, or I can serve in the army that is not the Lord's army. I pray that every one of you will volunteer for service, will make up your mind that you are going to serve in the Lord's army. Here's what's involved. If you're going to be in the Lord's army, then you must learn to follow orders. And not just any orders. As soldiers in the Lord's army, we must follow the captain's orders. If you go out to Afghanistan, you go out to Iraq, you go off to some place of battle in which America is currently engaged, you think there'd be any problems if you didn't follow orders? You think there'd be any trouble on the battlefield? You think there'd be any trouble within your troop? You think there'd be any trouble even back home if you didn't follow orders? There's a chain of command that is required that you follow orders. Same thing, even more so in the Lord's army. There are orders that must be followed, but not just from any captain. Our orders come from the captain himself. Jesus is our captain. Jesus is our king. He is our Lord. He is our master. He is our commander. He alone is the one who has authority to give us commands. He alone is the one who has the authority to give us orders. Therefore, He alone is the one to whom we must submit our obedience. You see, His commands, His orders, are the only ones on the face of this earth that will bring life. Sometimes we look at the Bible for whatever reason. We look at the Bible as a bunch of do's and don'ts. And for some reason, some people focus on the don'ts more than they do on the do's. Well, I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do the other. And God says, don't do this, and don't do that. And we think of it as some kind of a restriction that I can't do anything, and I can't enjoy life. We've got a warped view of the Bible if that's the way we look at it. God's Word, His orders, His commands are the only ones on this earth that will bring life. When that rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one who's good. And He reminded this rich young ruler that if he would follow the commands of God, he would have everlasting life. That's Matthew chapter 19. Same thing is said in the last book of the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 22. Blessed are those who keep the commandments of God, that they may have the right to the tree of life. The commandments, the orders of our Lord, if we obey them, will bring life. As a soldier in the Lord's army, James chapter 4 and verse 7 uses what was a military term to the Greeks in those days. This idea of submitting to God literally means that we rank under His orders. We recognize that we are not the ones in authority. We recognize that He is the one who has all authority, and therefore I need, as a soldier in the Lord's army, to submit to His orders, to follow His orders, in order that I might have the right to the tree of life. Are you doing that? Are you a soldier in the Lord's army? As a soldier in the Lord's army, are you following the captain's orders? Another thing that's required as soldiers in the Lord's army is that we must not fraternize. I knew I was going to mess that word up. We must not fraternize with the enemy. What does that mean? We don't need to be buddy-buddy. We don't need to be hanging out with the enemy. Go again to America's battlefields. Go again to where we have soldiers around the globe. Suppose those soldiers start hanging out with. Suppose those soldiers start fraternizing with the enemy. Oh, sure, they've got their camp. They've got the U.S. camp over here. But, you know, on the weekends, they're going and hanging out with the enemy. They're going and you know, they're brother-brother with these guys who are America's. And what's that going to do? What's that going to do with that soldier? What's that going to do with his troop? What's that going to do with America's army, with our military? That's not something that we're involved in. That's not something that soldiers in the battlefield are involved in, and it's not something that soldiers in the Lord's army need to be involved in. You see, we have that enemy. The enemy that James chapter 4 tells us to resist, to get away from, to avoid at all cost. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us to not give him any opportunity in our life. Give him no room, no place to work in our lives. We need to have nothing to do with him. How do we do that? We abstain from every fleshly lust that's warring against our soul. Think about that in this imagery of us being a soldier in the Lord's army. That we're facing a battle. We are engaged, as 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 said, we're engaged in battle. One of the battles, one of our enemies that's constantly coming against us are our own fleshly lusts. The Bible says abstain from them. Flee from them because they are at war against your soul. Stay away from them. There are those works of darkness. There are those works of the world. Those works of Satan that the Bible says we need to have no fellowship with. Have no friendship with. Do not fraternize with these works of the devil, these works of darkness. And you know Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be poured into the world's mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. As a soldier in the Lord's army, you cannot afford to be buddy-buddy with the enemy. Because if you are, James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. You cannot be friends with God and friends with the world at the same time. You cannot be buddy-buddy with God and buddy-buddy with fleshly lusts and with Satan and with the world and with the works of darkness at the same time. And those who believe that you can straddle that fence, those who believe that you can have one foot over here with the Lord and one foot over here with the world have fallen into that trap and have been taken captive. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 uses that word. We've been taken captive by the devil himself, falling prey to his deceit, that we can have one foot on both sides of that fence. Jesus himself said, no man can serve two masters. It's impossible. It cannot happen. As soldiers in the Lord's army, we've got to come out from that enemy's army. We've got to be separate from them. As 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and the very next verse in chapter 7 and verse 1 says, as Christians, we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Soldiers in the Lord's army don't look like any other soldiers on the face of this earth. Soldiers in God's army are different. They're holy. They live a different life. They serve a different master. They have a different goal. Are you that kind of soldier? Are you a soldier in the Lord's army? Have you resisted the enemy himself? The next thing that we need to recognize as soldiers in the Lord's army is that we have a responsibility to recognize that we need to guard ourselves against deserting the ranks. Have you read or heard in the news over the last few years about soldiers who did that? Soldiers in the battlefield who deserted ranks? Not very healthy, is it? It's not healthy for the rest of the troop. It's for sure not healthy for that soldier himself. He had made a commitment. He had made a commitment to the military. He had made a commitment to his nation. He had made a commitment to his fellow soldiers. And then for whatever reason, he turned his back. Have you ever heard of soldiers in the Lord's army doing that? Have you ever heard of soldiers in the Lord's army as 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 uses the terminology who walk disorderly? There's a military term that's used there as well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Talks about the fact that those who are walking disorderly are those who have, they've broken rank. Have you ever watched soldiers march? Have you ever seen some of these soldiers, not only American soldiers, but soldiers from other nations as they march maybe in a parade and you see how well they are marching in unison. Side by side, lined up, and they are in unison, they are in rank, and they are all together. How easy would it be to spot the one who would be out of rank? How easy would it be to spot the one who is not in line with everybody else. It'd be pretty easy. Same thing is true in the Lord's army. We need to guard at all costs our lives, to see to it that we do not desert the ranks of the one and only army that has any worth on the face of this earth. Therefore, we need to take heed, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to take heed, to watch out, to be careful, lest we fall. We need to do all that we can to take those godly attributes that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1. Those godly attributes where God says to use, take all diligence, not just some diligence, but with all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. We need to take all of those and to build our lives with those and around those and those things in our lives. The reason is because in verse 10, God says, if you do these things, you will never break rank. You will never desert the ranks. You will never stumble. That needs to be our goal. To never lose sight of what God wants of us as His soldiers in His army. To do all that we can to mold our lives, not after the world, but after our captain's example, after our captain's orders, and to determine that we will never give up. We will never quit. Is being a soldier in the Lord's army difficult sometimes? Does it have its struggles? Does it have its trials and temptations? Is it like being in the battlefield over in Iraq or Afghanistan where you just think, you know, I don't know how much more of this I can take? Determine. Guard your life. Make up your mind that you will never desert rank. You will never give up on God. As a soldier in the Lord's army, we've got to determine with all of our heart that we are going to give ourselves so fully to God that we would even be willing to die for the cause of Christ. That concept is just so foreign to us that we say those words, but we can't fathom those words. When a man, or I guess a woman, but when someone volunteers, signs up to go into the army, signs up to go into the Air Force, Marines, whatever one he chooses, he has made up his mind that he's willing to go to battle. And he's made up his mind that he's willing to go to battle and he's willing to die for the cause for which he has gone to battle. Every person who has joined, every person who's fighting has made that choice. As a Christian, we make that choice. As a Christian, we determine that there is only one cause on the face of this earth that is worth anything, and that's the cause of Christ. And so as a soldier in the Lord's army, what you and I need to do is to have a conviction so strong, a faith in God, in Christ, in the Word of God, so strong, in the cause of Christ, that is so strong that we make up our minds that working for God, serving in the Lord's army, it's more important, it's more valuable, and it's much more essential than even my own life. Think about the words of Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul says, I do not even count my own life dear to myself. He says in chapter 21, verse 13, he says, I'm not only ready to be bound. Sure, go ahead and arrest me. I'm not only ready to be bound, arrested, put on trial. I am ready to die for the name of Christ. Do you have that same conviction? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, be thou faithful unto death. That doesn't simply mean be faithful up until the moment that you die. It means that, but it means more than that. He's talking to those soldiers of Christ who were under trial. They were under persecution. And he's saying, be thou faithful, even if it means your faithfulness leads to your death. How strong is your conviction? How determined are you as a Christian? You see, this idea of dying for the cause of Christ, we take that and we put it in a sphere and we say that doesn't apply to me. I live in America. That has nothing to do with me, so I don't even have to worry about that. And yet the moment somebody ridicules us or mocks us or makes fun of us or questions us or points a finger at us or laughs at us or does something as trivial as that to us because we are a Christian. Trivial, I say, in regards to losing our own life. All of a sudden, we start to shrivel. All of a sudden, we start to back off. All of a sudden, we start to back away. How strong is your conviction that no matter what, you will stand up for truth? That no matter what, you will stand up for righteousness, no matter the consequences? That truth must be taught and preached. Truth is the only... What did Jesus say in John chapter 8? Ye shall know the truth. There's only one. And the truth shall set you free. What is it that's going to save this world? The truth. Why should we be ashamed of it? What is it that Proverbs says is that which preserves a nation? Righteousness. Why should we be ashamed of doing what's right? Young people, why should you be ashamed of doing what's right when God says that is the very thing that is going to save a nation, to save a family, to save your own soul? As a soldier in the Lord's army, we must determine, be willing to die for the cause. We must make up our minds as a soldier in the Lord's army that we will never take a leave or take furlough from our duties. You think about those soldiers that are on the battlefield. What do they want the most? They want a break, don't they? They go to battle, and we've talked about it. We've talked about it for the last several years in this nation. You know, how long should they go over there, and you know, how long should they have when they get back? Because these guys who are in battle, they deserve and they need a break. They need a leave time, at least for a weekend. They need some furlough to get themselves back. And we think about that in relationship to soldiers on the battlefield, and we look at ourselves and say, you know, as a Christian, I just need a break. I just need a leave of absence. You know, God, I just need a period of a furlough where I don't have to worry about being a Christian. I don't have to worry about doing what the Bible says. I just need a time where I can sit and relax and not worry about doing what the Bible says. Do we want that? Do we sometimes say that we need that? You know what we need a break from? You know what we need a furlough from? Is the world that we live in. It's the world and our own decisions that have made us so busy and wrapped us up in so much that we look at our Christian life and we think, boy, I'm just too busy as a Christian. No, we're not. We don't have too much going on. We've got too much going on in the world. We don't have too much going on as a Christian. There's no place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where God says it's a good idea for a Christian to take a break. Where it says it's a good idea for a Christian to take a leave of absence, take a furlough. You know why? Because if you take a break, when are you going to come back? If you take a leave, when are you going to come back? If you take a furlough time where I just need to get away, when are you going to come back? The reality is that most will not and most do not. Somebody says, well, I can't go to church every Sunday. That's just too much. I can't be there every week. Can't go back on Sunday nights. Not going to go back on Wednesday. I have too much going on. You know where oftentimes the first little hints and the first little symptoms show up that somebody is struggling spiritually, where somebody's getting ready to take a break as a Christian, it's seen in their worship patterns, their attendance or non-attendance. Did Jesus take a break? The only time we see Jesus taking a break, you know what he was doing? He was praying. Brethren, if you want to take a break from working for the Lord, then stay up all night praying. That's the only example that we have. There is too much work to do for us to sit down. There's too much work for us to do for any of us to sit on the sidelines. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Jesus didn't look at work as an option. Didn't look at it as something that, you know, could take or leave. I have to do this. Brethren, we need to have that same response. I must work the works of him while it is day. There's too much work for us to do. There are too many things that Christians have a responsibility to do. And the Bible says this is not just something we need to do some of the time. It's something we need to do all of the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 says that we need to be always, not sometimes, not most of the time, not a lot of the time, we need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you a soldier in the Lord's army? Are you a soldier who is abounding in the work of God? If we want rest, there is a rest that is promised. But it's not a rest that's in this life. It's a rest that is promised to those who keep His commandments, to those who do His will. It's that rest that He's promised to those who will be in heaven. Which leads us to our final point this morning. And that is, as faithful soldiers in the Lord's army, we must remember that eventually we'll go home. What are those soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq and on the seas? And what do those American soldiers want the most? What are they looking forward to? What is it that they can't wait for? They just want to go home. They want to do their job, but they want to go home. As a soldier in the Lord's army, we need to want to do our job, and we need to want to go home. And remember that eventually we will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 8, this word is used there to talk about the fact that while I am present in this body, while I am at home in this body, verse 6 and 7 talks about, while I'm at home in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. But, verse 8 says, when I am absent from this body, meaning when my spirit leaves this body, when the time comes that I die and my spirit separates from this body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, then I will be at home with the Lord. As every soldier in the Lord's army, that ought to be our utmost desire and goal. But the only ones who will go there are those who are citizens of that kingdom. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, but only if you're a child of God. That you're only children of God have citizenship in heaven. Only soldiers in the Lord's army have citizenship in heaven. The only way to achieve it, the only way to reach that goal, is to have the mindset that Paul had in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. As a soldier in the Lord's army, are you fighting the good fight? Paul says, I have finished the course. As a soldier in the Lord's army, are you working on finishing the course that He set before you? Paul says, I have kept the faith. As a soldier in the Lord's army, are you keeping the faith? If you are, Paul says, therefore there is crown of righteousness laid up for me. He knew it was there. But he says, not for me only, but for all those who love His appearing. This morning, Are you a soldier? There's only one way to be a soldier in the Lord's army. He's not going to force you. There's not going to be a draft. It's not going to become a time where you get a letter in the mail that says, "Oh, good, I get to be in the Lord's army now. I've been waiting for this letter." Or maybe it's a letter you've been trying to avoid. There's no such thing. It's a decision that you make, that you volunteer, with full recognition that being a soldier, I don't get to sit back. There's work to be done. There are battles to be fought. There are courses to be finished. But there's also life to be rewarded. This morning, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? You can't be a soldier in His army if you do not believe that He is the Lord, that He is the Master, that He is the Captain, that He is who He claimed to be, the Son of God. Do you believe that? Are you willing this morning to make up your mind that you're going to stop serving in the army of self and you want to start serving in the army of God? Do you want to make up your mind to do that? The Bible calls that repentance. Are you ready to turn from serving self and say, "I want to serve in the army of God"? If you're willing to make that decision this morning, then you can do just what they did in New Testament times. Not something that the Church of Christ has made up. Something that Jesus, our Captain, King, Lord, and Master, made up. This very day, you can confess that faith that's in your heart, and you can be baptized, immersed in water, just like they were in New Testament times. And when you do that, the Bible says that all of your sins will be forgiven. Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins." What is it that's separating you from God right now? It's your own sins. The blood of Jesus can wash those sins away. God will add you to His church. He will add you to His army as one of His soldiers. He will write your name down in the book of life. And then He asks you as one of His soldiers to fight, to finish the course, to keep the faith, to do that faithfully and loyally until the day that you die. If we can help you in any way this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.